You're listening to an edited version of the live Voices of Montana statewide radio program. Find us on Facebook and subscribe for further podcasts wherever you get your audio on demand. I'm Tom Schultz, host of the program. Thanks for joining us, and please feel free to contact me at studio@voicesofmontana.com.
Now comes the fun part, huh? I don't know why it is. I look at wines, and I'm just so overly intimidated by them. But I bet if I stopped off over at Flathead Lake Winery and talked to a guy who's been making wines for 50 years, I bet I'd feel a lot better about that. That's one of our three guests we're going to talk to here as we welcome you back to Voices Up Montana. Brian McGuire will join us here in a bit, too. He's the owner of the Willow Mountain Winery, an estate winery in Corvallis. Dan Vogel, Winery Association of Montana Secretary Treasurer, and he's also the sommelier. Where's that French guy? He's that sommelier. Am I saying that right, Julian? From Xanterra Glacier Lier. Park?
Sommelier. So sommelier comes from French.
Sommelier. Yes, it does. Sommelier. Okay. Thank you, Julian. And then Larry Robertson, owner of Flathead Lake Winery in the Polson area. Drive by your winery sometimes, Larry. I need to stop in there. How you doing, sir?
I'm doing great, Tom. How are you?
Hanging in. Appreciate you being here. Is Brian McGuire along the line, too?
Yes, sir, Tom. I am right here.
Hey, appreciate you. I drive by your winery, too.
Stop in.
Yeah, I will. We'll get – is Dan there, the sommelier from Xanterra Glacier Park?
Yep, sure am.
Hey, great.
Yep,
look at you guys. We've got three here. So if you guys want to ask each other questions, feel free to do that. If we're talking on a topic you want to pipe in on, pipe in. Let's just roll with it. First, Larry, let's start with you. I want to get to some of the fun things about wine as well. But as you and I have talked rather extensively offline, Montana is actually pretty good climate for a particular type of grape that makes a pretty good wine. Why don't you explain that to our audience?
Yes, they're cold hardy grapes, and they're hardy actually to 25 to 40 below zero.
Wow.
A lot of them were developed in Minnesota and Wisconsin. They're grown from Montana to New York, Canada, and Northern Europe. And they've been breeding these grapes for, 60 to 80 years. And the last 20 years or so, they've really started coming out with grapes that really make good wine. And Montana is unique in that it has a semi-arid climate. All the other areas in the world that grow these get a lot of rainfall and have a lot of humidity. And so we're finding that the arid climate really enhances the development of tannins in the skins and can produce some really exceptional wines.
Brian, is that the kind of grape that you grow up there?
Yeah, I think we have about a dozen different varietals in the ground. All of them have been selectively bred over the years to meet particular climate criteria. So, for example, we have potential for late spring frost. That means we want the budding to hold until a little later. We have the potential for an early fall frost, so we want the ripening to be a little earlier. Here, specifically in the Bitterroot, we have a sunshine, maybe more so than other places. Maybe Yellowstone Valley looks pretty good, but it starts at 5:30 in the morning. It doesn't stop until 10:30 at night, and we have very, very low rainfall. So what happens is, yes, the grapes can survive the winters very well here. They then can come up in the spring. They can bloom, and then they can produce vegetation and fruit at a very rapid rate. High temperatures, bright sunshine, really cool evenings, radical changes in the temperatures and such without a tremendous amount of rain gives us the ability to irrigate as we need. And we have now made two harvests from our vineyard. We now are just about to come out with our first wines from our very own vineyard here. And they're remarkable. They truly are. As an essence of these grapes in particular, we're finding that Montana is producing some nuances that other states can't. And we're very pleased with it.
You know, that's a question for Dan Vogel then. Are they remarkable? As the sommelier for Xanterra Glacier Park, that's the person, that's the wine guy. I suppose that you're picking a lot of these kinds of wines. I suppose that maybe, I don't want to speak for you, but you probably favor Montana wines or local wines. Maybe your patrons do. Are they remarkable?
Well, hi, thanks for having us on the show here. And yes, in fact, they are. The thing about wine is that it's really a story of struggle. And the thing that both Larry and Brian have, they're being very kind and polite about how difficult it is to actually produce a product, a wine that is worth drinking. And the work and the sweat and the worry that goes into that is truly remarkable. And the real study of wine is about the study of struggles that way and knowing that story. So, you know, there's all this magic hocus pocus about what wine can be. It's really about tasting the struggle behind the flavors, and Montana has excellent struggles and excellent flavors.
Geez, I love that. I got to take a news break here. It's just going to be 2 minutes. We'll come on back because I want to play off of that. Larry Robertson of Flathead Lake Winery, you've got a blog that I read about the 2020 Miracle Fall. Part of it was, it talked about the disastrous summer of 2019. And I think that goes along with what Dan's talking about, the struggle of producing a great wine, which starts with good fruit. We'll come on back after a short break, and then we have more here. It is Winemaking Montana today on Voices. Here's Brian Bennett with headlines. How lawmakers can possibly help encourage the winemaking industry in Montana. I think our audience knows how to encourage it. We're back here on Voices of Montana. Brian McGuire, he's with Willow Mountain Winery in Corvallis. Dan Vogel is with us as well. The Winery Association of Montana, secretary treasurer, but he is the sommelier for Xanterra Glacier Park. Larry Robertson, been on the program before, a friend from Flathead Lake Winery, and he's also the WAM, which is Winery Association of Montana president. Larry, let's kind of get honest here about, as what Dan was saying, how difficult it can be. I mean, there's a lot of things that have to, or are there a lot of things that have to fall in place, and some things can really go wrong. Is that right?
Oh, everything can go wrong the wrong year. 2019 was such a wet year all year. Around the Flathead, even in middle of August, we had 4-inch monsoon rains, it seemed like, and it just never stopped that whole year. 2020, last year, started the same way, but right in July, all of a sudden, the switch went up, and it turned sunny and warm throughout the rest of the summer and into the fall, which really saved our season. We started flowering late those both years, so we're hoping this year we will flower more on time and allow us the full season to ripen the grapes. But it's agriculture, and you're always looking at next year being a better year.
Brian, why don't you comment on that? As an owner of a winery in Corvallis, there's always risk, and we talk about ag in Montana frequently about it being an all-in kind of operation. But as a business owner, how does that play into your long-range goals?
Well, it's definitely an all-in, buddy. If you're thinking you're going to dabble in this, then you'd better make it a hobby and keep it small. Dan mentioned earlier that Larry and I were being kind about how hard it is. I wasn't being kind. I'm trying not to scare anybody. We have, for example, this week alone, I have scheduled 302 man hours worth of labor in the vineyard alone. It has nothing to do with what's going on in the winery. We're about to bottle 500 cases of new production. It's going to take a lot of effort, a lot of time. Yeah, in the state of Montana, we've got some particular hurdles to jump in that we're not in established wine country. So we don't have a guy across the street with a pump just in case one of ours goes down. We don't have access to the equipment and supplies, to the vines, to the trellising. Man, I have to special order just the simple wire that I want for trellising. And in my vineyard alone, we have 35 miles of that particular, no, I'm lying, 39 miles, I believe, of that particular wire in place. So in order to get those things, we wind up doing a lot of business out of state to do it. And we have to rely on one another. We have to rely on each other for, oh, like Larry keeps track of the weather, for example. And I'll call him and say, how are your numbers coming in? How's your chemistry and your grapes compared to ours? What am I going to have to do to facilitate the rest of the season? We all communicate, and we have to, just to survive out here all by ourselves in Montana.
Dan, we've only got about 30 seconds left, or less than that. But how important is that to your patrons, the local wines and the story?
It's enormously important in that when we approach, so my function in this is actually as someone that buys wine from Larry and Brian and then provides it to the National Park guest here in Glacier. And that Glacier Park guest is enormously interested in anything that's Montanan, and the fact that it's going to be wine is really, really important.
And that's really cool. We got to come on back after a break here. Again, not a lot of time, but we have more time after this extended break to talk in detail about what policymakers can do to help our wine industry in Montana.
Voices of Montana continues right after this.
The fastest hour in Montana radio continues. Call 1-866-627-5483. And join Montana's statewide radio talk show, Voices of Montana, with Tom Schultz.
Wine making in Montana. Now, I have to admit, pretty transparent, my dad made a little homemade wine. Do you know why he stopped? Because he had seven boys. You can fill in the blanks. Welcome back from Montana for Montana. It's Voices of Montana. We're talking about winemaking in the state here. We are going to actually be, as we're out on the road, yes, our tow rope tour begins tomorrow. We're going to hit Lewistown and highlight, man, that's a pretty close-knit community and a lot of supporters there. So there's some stories that we'll talk about here. A mother and a daughter teamed up to donate. It was almost 1,000 meals during the pandemic. There's a custom boat shop there. They serve just a lot of groups and organizations. They're pretty generous with this unique donation that they've got going there. And then a local rancher making sure there's plenty of beef to go around for the Boys and Girls Club of Lewistown. That's going to be tomorrow. Great Falls, the Electric City on Wednesday, Helena on Thursday. At some point, Brian and Larry, be on alert because the tow rope tour is going to come to Western Montana. So we're going to be in that area. And I guarantee you next time, Larry, I'm not going to drive by. I'm going to pop in to the Flathead Lake Winery. Larry's the WAM president, Winery Association of Montana. Brian McGuire is the owner of Willow Mountain Winery in Corvallis. And you can look those up. Just do a search, willowmountainwinery.com, flatheadlakewine.com. And Xanterra is with an X, X-A-N-T-E-R-R-A. Dan Vogel is the secretary treasurer for the WAM, for the Winery Association of Montana. And he's the sommelier for Xanterra Glacier Park. Again, thank you guys for being here. Appreciate that so much. Larry, let's start off with this latest legislative session here. Policymakers, you guys are, of course, all in as business owners. You think there's an upside for Montana's economy, the economic impact for the winery? How are legislators receiving that? What steps can they do to, spur on this industry?
Well, a lot of them have been very supportive the more they learn about what our potential is. You can look at any other wine region in the world that has a wine economy, and it stabilizes their economy and provides a lot of other ancillary development, hotels, restaurants, and other things. So we have great potential. The House Bill 688 that's going through the legislature right now is a study bill to have a legislative committee on Montana viticulture to research other states and other regions on how they've supported their value-added agriculture. And this is strictly a value-added agriculture bill from root to glass, and how we can stimulate that part of our agricultural economy. And what can be done to support that through legislative means and through other state programs to incentivize planting of vineyards and growing a wine industry in Montana.
Brian, what's the upside for Willow Mountain Winery if you get the necessary, and I'm not talking about, subsidization, but you get support. You maybe get government out of the way or get some regulations loosened that help that are unnecessary there. You had talked a little while ago about you're getting ready to bottle up 500 cases. That is a figure that kind of blows my mind.
Well, it's actually a small number in wine country, a big number in Montana, I guess. And yes, there is much that can take place that'll help Little Mountain Winery out. The study bill is for the purpose of determining how legislation should proceed. If you look and base it on the consumer, Dan mentioned earlier that his consumers, the customers in Zanterra, they want to know what Montana's growing. If you grow an apple or a tomato and you pluck it and you sell it directly to a consumer, obviously that's direct agriculture. Value-added agriculture is where the money starts really coming in. And wine, by virtue of the consumer's recognition of the varietals of the grapes, of the location where the grapes are actually grown, every consumer who's drinking wine has to some degree a recognition of the ag in it. And therefore, wine is grown as if you just plucked the bottle right off the vine and sold it to the consumer. Once Montana begins to establish a little more thorough legislative process in how we manage the laws governing how we sell our wines, how we distribute our wines, it's really going to lend itself to the boom. I'm not trying to say that we're going to be the next copper mine industry or something in Montana, but
right.
As far as agriculture goes, buddy, there is a tremendous boon in our future to what vineyards and wineries can do for Montana because they are so direct to the consumer.
Dan, why should the legislature listen?
Well, they should listen for a number of reasons. First of all, when we set the culture within the state that we as a people, as a community, are supportive of these industries, then it becomes self-supporting. It's really important for my role in Zanterra that we represent to the American public and the world the flavors, textures, characteristics of Montana. And we do that with the craft beer that we serve, with the spirits that we serve, and certainly with the wines that we serve. And so that sense of place is what we seek to provide, and that's what our guests are looking for.
Larry Robertson, owner of Flathead Lake Winery. So you've got HB 688, which is a study bill. What's the format for that study? Are they going to come visiting? Are you going to hold roundtables? How can does the public get involved in something like that?
Well, how that will be formed is there'll be legislators assigned to that committee with the task of getting information from the public, from the wineries, from other states to fully analyze how that could fit in with Montana and what kind of things they can do to support essentially the value-added agriculture issue. Because we are directly related to the vineyards, to the ground. It is all agriculture all the way, and people expect when they're tasting wine that it comes from a vineyard and they'll ask, where are your vineyards? So it's a totally different story than a lot of the other liquor industries because we are so tied to agriculture. And we have one shot in the fall to produce a good crop to be able to stay in business. And so it's pretty precarious sometimes, but that's agriculture.
Are you you're growing more than just grapes, aren't you, Larry?
Yes, I grow also Hass caps, blackberries, and then, of course, get Flathead sweet and sour cherries. There's a lot of berries that are really good for wine also, and we're working with the Montana Berry Association on some of the key fruits there also. But the one thing to remember about a wine industry is it has to be based on grapes. There's no wine industry in the world that does not base their industry on wine grapes. And so to have a valid, authentic wine industry, we really need to encourage vineyards, but also cider orchards and the berries come in too. But without the grapes, we don't have a recognizable wine industry.
That's where I was going with Brian. Brian McGuire, Willow Mountain Winery out of Corvallis. That's well-known apple country.
It is. It's one of the reasons we chose this. All the climate features that I discussed earlier, but our soil profiles are absolutely remarkable for just that. So, yes, there are apples available. We have a lot of berries available. Although Willow Mountain Winery is stuck exclusively in the world of wine grapes, there is a diversity across Montana because of the size, because of the diversity of the agriculture itself, where you can produce wines from quality wines from all sorts of different fruits. Simply from a standpoint of economics, we are sticking with a variety of wines from a variety of grapes. And the apples right nearby have been converted into wines and to brandies and all kinds of things that could possibly enhance the industry. There's no doubt about it. Dan Vogel's right. The consumer wants to know what the state of Montana tastes like.
Yeah, that's follow up on that, Dan. And maybe, you know, in about a minute and a half or so, talk about what policy can be changed to be more effective for the wine industry.
Well, one of the things that we look for when we purchase or select a wine for our lists in order to, you know, present to the world is again, its sense of place. And that sense of place needs to have some verification that what's the information on the label is actually the truth. And so when the wine says in the label, Willow Mountain, Corvallis, Montana, you are actually having flavors and character and sweat and blood and tears that are in Corvallis, Montana. And that has a flavor to it that you can actually sense. You can smell it. You can taste it. And it sounds bizarre, but it's exactly what makes wine wine. Larry's wines are different because, A, they're Larry wines, but they're also from the Polson area, as are the wines from Yellowstone, as are the wines from, you know, the other places. And so we look for that as a way of authenticity, and an authentic wine from Montana will have those kind of flavors. And when you taste it against a wine from Washington, from Idaho, from Oregon, from California, it has a unique characteristic that you can remember and that you can taste.
You know, and that's what I appreciate about, you know, wine experts, so to speak, or aficionados, or even just fans. They can taste the difference there. I got to come on back, and we're going to ask some fun questions about Brian. I'm going to have you recommend one of Larry's wines, and Larry, I'm going to have you recommend one of Brian's wines, and Dan, I'm going to have you recommend a wine from both, and whether it's shrimp or beef or pork or steak, whatever it is, let's come on back and bring it to that level. We are taking a break, and we'll come on back with more. It's From Montana for Montana, Voices of Montana.
You're listening to a podcast from the live Voices of Montana radio show. Be sure to check out the full podcast page at voicesofmontana.com for a full listing of all our programs. We've been covering Montana issues for more than 20 years. Thanks for listening today.
There's a lot to talk about here, and we'll continue the conversation as the summer goes on. And Brian McGuire is with us, Willow Mountain Winery in Corvallis, Larry Robertson, owner of the Flathead Lake Winery, and the president of the Winery Association of Montana. And board members Dan Vogel, he's the secretary treasurer of WAM, and also the sommelier for Zanterra and Glacier Park. And that's the company that does the food preparation and the lodges and then all the amenities that go along with your experience there at Glacier Park. Before I run out of time, I want to get to this sort of fun thing here. So let's start off with you, Larry. I'm having ribeye. It's marinated in tomato basil. I'm serving roasted potatoes. What Willow Mountain wine should I have with that meal?
Well, that one probably should be a nice hearty red, Marquette. There's a few others also, Leon and Foch, that make a good blend. But one of the key ones I'm really looking forward to, Brian's, is his Itasca white sparkling wine that he'll be coming out with soon. There's so many that he has, it's really hard to choose.
Well, Brian, I'd have you comment on that task white, too, and how long it's taken to perfect that. But I'm having chicken, and it's marinated in an herb. And this is going to be kind of a rather large gathering. What Flathead Lake wine should I be serving with that?
Well, you know, then I'm going to recommend Larry's Lacadie Blanc. I got to be honest with you, I haven't tasted it yet. The Lacadie Blanc is a Nova Scotian grape that's come into tremendous favor, and Larry's going to be one of the very first to produce it in Montana. He's got a very small operation, gives him the ability to do some very delicate hands-on work. So to give him a second plug, he's working on a particular wine-making method that none of us can afford to do. And if it works, then there will be an establishment of this process that he's working on. And to try it, you need to drink his Marquette. He's got a Marquette that's responding to that very, very well. So best of luck, Larry, and sell the Lacadie Blanc.
Larry, you've got to just about take 35 seconds and describe that process that Brian's talking about.
Well, it's a very slow steaming process that I can only process 5 to 6 gallons an hour versus 800 gallons an hour for a normal winery. My winery is really small. It's more of a retirement winery. I have retirement income from NRCS, and so I'm allowed to do that. But it does pull a lot of the flavor and color out and makes a very unique wine. But you don't see wineries using it because it is just too costly to do. But we're trying to recommend more commercial-sized wineries in the state. That's where we have to go.
I want to finish up with Dan before we run out of time, Dan. I'm sitting on the deck, close family. I just had sloppy joes and fries. What would you suggest for both the Willow Mountain Winery and the Flathead Lake Winery?
Well, sloppy joes and fries are just a great thing because a lot of tomato, a lot of great flavors there. Simple food is just a lot of fun with wine. From Brian, I would definitely do his GSM. That's Grenache Syrah Mourvèdre blend. That's also one of the wines that I have in the park of his. And that would go just beautifully with that, particularly with the herbal aspect of that. And then with Larry, I'm going to agree with Brian. Larry's Marquette. It would be just a perfect wine to go with either one of those. And as you had mentioned, great with your best cousin, too.
Hey, that's Dan Vogel from Zanterra, the sommelier, and also the Wine Association of Montana, Larry Robertson, Flathead Lake Winery, Brian McGuire, Willow Mountain Winery. I do appreciate what you guys do. Thank you so much. We'll talk to you down the road, okay?
Thank you, Tom.
Thank you. Thanks.
We'll see you guys tomorrow from Lewistown.
You've been listening to Voices of Montana. Comments and opinions heard are those of the host or callers, and not necessarily those of this station, sponsors, or Northern News Network. Join us Monday through Friday at 9:06 for Voices of Montana.